651 1320 WILS. Well, we talked a bit about this yesterday, but this new study on the effects of concussion is really shocking. Something like 110 out of 111 brains of former NFL football players showing signs of degeneration because of concussions. Dr. Brandon Brock with us, an expert on brain health at Cerebrum Health Centers, cerebrum.com. Dr. Brock, great to have you on WILS.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Yeah, is this, I mean, you've been dealing with these issues for so many years. Is this in any way surprising to you, this latest study?
I mean, it seems like we have this conversation a lot. I mean, you know, it's just kind of just showing the same theme, same pattern, and, you know, really what we kind of already know. But there's more and more people that are now kind of jumping on the bandwagon of doing studies to really demonstrate, is this reproducible? Is it something that's valid? Is it something that we know for fact, and not just one study here or there showing it? It appears that every single study that they're doing just kind of keeps repeating the same findings. Mm.
So basically what, any kind of hit to the head is just bad to your brain? You're going to be causing some kind of damage? Is that what we're to take away here?
No, I don't think we're to take away that any hit to, I mean, look, any hit to the head or that causes brain issues is bad, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get CTE. But I would definitely say that repeated damage, like a football player over the course of their lifespan, if they make it to the NFL, you can only imagine how many hits to the head they've taken.
Mm-hmm.
So the repetitive stress is probably a big factor. And then I would say that getting those big, big, big knocks, you know, more frequent than not, is also contributing to it as well. And I think the study really shows, this study is kind of interesting because it shows that the higher-level athletes are probably more at risk, and it also shows that there might be a little bit of selection bias because the brains that were donated were people who were suspected of having it already anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to need to be more studies comparing that population to another population of people who maybe died incidentally and didn't have a lot of symptoms. Right. Did they show signs of it as well?
Now, did you play football yourself at any point?
Did a little bit in high school. I was a gymnast. I kind of did that sport, which didn't turn out to be any safer for me.
Oh, really? Did you take some hits as a gymnast?
I actually had a neck fracture.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Which turned out to be okay, but actually I did have a head injury because at one point in time I was a stuntman and had a head injury bad enough to lose vision in one of my eyes for about 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So that was not cool.
That sounds frightening. And then it just came back slowly but surely?
Yeah, it did. As the concussion resolved, I started seeing better again. But it was a terrifying experience. You know, it's one of the things that got me into the field of neuroscience because I was so interested in, you know, my own situation, and it kind of puzzled me how I could lose something and then get it back. But you also start thinking to yourself, what is going to be, you know, what's going to happen to me down the line, and what can I do to make myself healthy enough to not have, you know, complications.
Talking to Dr. Brandon Brock with Cerebrum Health Centers, I wanted to ask you about John McCain. He had the brain tumor. It was cancerous. They took it out of his head. What do we know why these things happen? Like what actually causes that to happen in the brain?
Well, you know, he has a glioblastoma, a really, really aggressive type of tumor. It's the one that, if you remember back, Ted Kennedy had, you know, that he passed away from. And it's one of those it's super aggressive. We don't really, I mean, there's probably all kinds of theories out there on why these develop, but we don't know for sure exactly why they do, which is kind of that's kind of a nuisance because then it's hard to do stuff that's preventative. You know, we know it's just very unfortunate.
Uh-huh. So basically, really there is no clear theory. It just happens, and too bad. Is that how it is?
Yeah, to my knowledge, there's not really a clear theory. I mean, there's all kinds of people out there with ideas, but I don't think there's anything proven with any clear, you know, just clear, concise, this is what happens. I mean, we understand the physiology of the cell types that are involved, but not exactly why they go haywire.
Yeah, the whole cell phone thing, since we're on the brain tumor, do you have a position on cell phone use and having the phone against your head?
Well, I you know, there's, again, conflicting research. You know, of course, I'm sure there's a lot of politics behind this, but I can't really say for sure if it's good or bad. I know I can give you two things. I keep my phone away from two of the most important areas of my body as much as I can, and that's my head and my groin region.
Okay. And you do that because of what? Why? Why do you do that?
Well, because what if some of the research about cell phones being detrimental is correct? You know, I don't really want to be on the bat. You know, I don't want to be looking in hindsight saying, man, I wish I would have kept my phone away from my body. Is, yeah. You know,
does it make sense more. as a brain expert yourself? Does it make sense to you that these cell signals would somehow have an effect on the brain in particular?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to understand something. It definitely makes sense to me from a scientific perspective. I don't know if it proves out from a scientific method perspective, but mm-hmm. there's enough there that makes me a little bit leery. Like, I don't like carrying my cell phone in my pocket. I usually carry it in my bag. Mm-hmm. Of course, if I got to talk on it, I talk on it, but I try not to overuse it.
Right. Now, with John McCain, I mean, they just went in, pulled this tumor out, and he seemed to be just fine. Is that usually how it goes?
Well, you know, he's really fortunate. I got to be honest with you. You know, he had some aggressive family doctors that really kind of just took some symptoms and said, you know what? What are the possibilities here? And they went ahead and imaged. And there's a lot of doctors that might not have done imaging on somebody that had his symptoms. But yeah. They saw what looked like a bleed. And this type of tumor is very vascular, so it, of course, looked like a bleed. And then when they went in there and they did a pathological analysis on it, they found out it was, you know, of course, this tumor type. And, you know, they were able to take it out. But you kind of got to understand a glioblastoma, it kind of like it's spiculated. So just because you get a mass out doesn't mean it hasn't spread throughout other areas, mm-hmm. just in individual cells. So there's really no way to get the entire thing out. So now he's going to have to deal with, well, what are we going to do after the surgery? I mean, the surgery was an awesome success, and I think his surgeons are amazing, and I think John McCain has really showed a lot of grit. But now the question is going to be, what are we going to do to keep this thing from growing back aggressively and killing the rest of the cell types that might be involved?
Interesting. So is there really anything you can do at that point other than pull the tumor out?
Well, you can pull the tumor out, and then, you know, there's options for chemo or radiation or, you know, whatever his doctors and family elect to do. But, you know, they're probably going to have to do something or else the prognosis gets even worse.
Yeah, and what's is that? Because what he said, he apparently felt kind of tired and a little hazy, right? He wasn't thinking; he wasn't quite as crisp as he felt. Is that a typical kind of symptom?
Yeah, I mean, but you know, when you think about it, it's like that could be signs and symptoms of God, you know, a thousand different
anything,
things.
Anything, right?
So you don't just go get a brain MRI because you feel a little bit tired, especially when you're a little bit older. I mean, we know John McCain is not, you know, super young, but I mean, it's, you know, he's getting a little older. It's understandable. He's, you know, a busy guy. God knows what kind of business he's dealing with right now, you know, with, you know, all the political matters that are going on. So it wouldn't surprise me if he was just tired just from his job, but I wouldn't say that everybody that feels a little bit tired or hazy has to have an MRI of the head.
We're talking to Dr. Brandon Brock, expert in brain health at Cerebrum Health Centers. Find him at Cerebrum.com. It is Dr. Brandon Brock right here on 1320 WILS. Dr. Brock, it's been, as always, very enlightening. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, sir. Have a great day.
You too. And that is it for us. Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin, wrapping up this Wednesday edition of the 1320 WILS Capital City Recap. We're back tomorrow at 6 p.m. right here on 1320 WILS. Good night.
Mid-Michigan's more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, Lansing, and worldwide at 1320WILS.com.